say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to an episode that begs the question, you ready to get stoned?
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
All right. Maybe not that kind of stoned. But
see, I knew you were a dork.
Shut up. Shut it, Toaster Head. Just shut it.
Calm down, gentlemen. You're both pretty, I promise. We are, as always, broadcasting.
I tried so hard, and he just makes fun of me.
From the lower fourth dimension, also known as making fun of David Floor. Now, also known as Chicago, just a stone's throw away. See what I did there? My compatriot here in parts unknown, Colorado. I'm Brent Hand. He's David Flora.
Hi.
And, well, as you know, the bots are here for bad measure.
Die in a fire with kittens.
Jesus.
David, we have I almost said fun one. We have a one this week.
We have one. Yeah. We sure do have an episode this week.
We got stones, aliens, conspiracies, all-out lies, Russians, people from Australia, hieroglyphs, dead bodies, tombs. I'm excited.
Wow. I mean, that you said we had one, and then you named all that. Now I'm kind of excited.
It's a weird one, let's just say, because there's so much. It's one that people say, it's true, I tells you. Why? Because I feel it. I just don't want it to be, you know, I want it. You know what I want, David?
Because they tell you it's false.
you know how them. Big stone is, you know. What I want is people to send us their weird news, weird at hysteria51.com. See that? That's
slid perfect. It right in there.
Yeah. If you guys got weird stories you want us to do for our bonus episodes, blurry hysteria, weird at hysteria51.com, weird at hysteria51.com. Get them in.
Yep.
Let us know your name. We'll give you a shout out. You can put it on your tombstone, right in your epitaph. Get it tattooed on your body, whatever, you know. We don't judge. We do judge, but it's fun. All right. Topic time.
Yes.
David.
Yeah.
Hit us with some facts.
Well, okay. I like kiwi flavoring, but I hate kiwis.
Good to know. Well, let's keep it more on the pseudo-archaeological claims for this week and less about your weird fucking quirks there, buddy.
Whoa. He's right about the judginess.
Hey! It's a guarantee in the lower fourth.
The Dropa stones, also known as the Dropa stones. Zopa?
D-Z-O-P-A. That's a choose your own adventure. The stones, I think, is
are the subject of a controversial story that has been largely debunked by the mainstream academic community. Firing the big gun right away. So you bet your ass we're talking about it on here. The story was first introduced to the Western world the same way all true scientific discoveries are. By spilling something and then tasting it. I mean, by a science fiction author. This happened to be...
That feels right to me.
I think people would be surprised how often this happens, to be honest.
Paging L. Ron Hubbard. Paging L. Ron Hubbard.
That's a big one. This happened to be a Russian named Alexander Kazanstev. Kazanstev?
That sounds right to me.
Kazanstev.
We got to work on our Rosetta Stone, man. We got to get that going.
Dude, I downloaded it today. I've already started.
Perfect.
Sorry, this isn't the time for the ad, but next ad read we do, I'll let you know how it's going.
Heck yeah.
But Alexander dropped this truth bomb on us in the year of our lurd 1900. and 60. Ooh. It revolves around the supposed discovery of mysterious disc-shaped stones allegedly discovered in the Bayanhar Shan region of China near the border of Tibet in 1938. I apologize for pronunciations on all these. But according to Alexander, or Sexy Lexi, as he's known by his friends.
I like to think that that's what he put on all of his research papers, but who am I to judge?
I hope that's what his parents called him, because they didn't want to say Alex. A team of archaeologists led by Chipute discovered several caves that appeared to be tombs.
Every cave can be a tomb with the right go-get-em attitude and a little luck.
I can't deny that. That's fair.
You got to have the right attitude and maybe an axe. You can just make that one work out for you no matter how you want to.
Maybe a little dynamite.
Yeah.
Close off that entrance. Anyways, inside these tombs, there were a series of graves, and each of them contained a skeleton measuring just over 3 feet or 1 meter in height with oddly proportioned bodies.
Oddly proportioned. I love that. I love that they taught that is an oddly proportioned body.
What did their dicks look like?
What?
Wow. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Straight to it.
Yeah.
Straight to it. Well, anyways, moving on. Alongside these skeletons, the team reportedly found 716 disc-shaped stones, give or take, depending on the retelling, each approximately 12 inches in diameter with a hole in the center.
As you do.
But the fun does not stop at donut stones.
Now do we find out about the genitals?
Okay.
Quick question, and I mean this with all sincerity. What the hell is actually wrong with you?
There is nothing wrong with asking scientific questions when learning about one of the few notable experiences in this planet's history that I was not there for.
Jesus. Okay,
that's lower on the priority list of scientific questions, but, I mean, you know, it's on the list.
Right. Skipping over that nonsense, back to the fun that Mr. Flora was mentioning. These stones were said to be inscribed with tiny hieroglyph-like markings, as all good discs are known to have.
I like their hieroglyph-like.
Yeah. They were hieroglyph-adjacent. Skip a bit now in the story, and then so that was when they were found. So that was in the 30s, right? So we go back to that year of our Lord, 1960, or in the 60s. One of the discs was supposedly translated, that was, by Dr. Sun Um Nui, is that how you would say that? Sun Um Nui?
I'll take it.
Of the Beijing Academy for Ancient Studies. Doc Sum Sum, as I think he liked to go by, because we're pretending that this is a real person, concluded that the inscriptions told the story of a spacecraft that crashed in the area some 12,000 years ago. Piloted by beings known as the Dropa, full stop, the end. And there's your new truth, people. Wow. And there you have it. The Dropa stones, like I said, full stop.
Passes my smell test.
That tracks for me, too.
Well, I mean,
break time. But
he
doesn't
have a nose. But
what did you say?
He doesn't have a nose.
That but, is also a truth. You know, but do you really want him having more abilities to experience the world?
Less holes on C-Bot, please.
Less holes is always good. Anyway, we're going to try to poke, speaking of holes in this story.
Good luck.
Yeah, well, when we come back after this break on Hysteria of 51.
I just can't believe you guys aren't interested in what alien dicks look like.
Shut the fuck up about dicks.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So It's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. Seabot, you've got a mirror. That's all you need to know.
Man, I tell you
alien
what.
Dicks.
There's more dick talk in this episode than I anticipated. But
really? Stones with holes in them? You didn't think there'd be some dick talk?
It was just an ancient game where they laid down and tossed it. Anyway. Woo! Jesus Christ. Those pesky ancient astronauts. All right, so tropostones are just one link in the ancient astronaut theory chain. It's something we've talked about on here a lot. They're used as examples to back up said ancient astronaut theory and diminish human ingenuity and accomplishments, because we all know that they couldn't do that. They couldn't build things or do things.
They were so dumb. They didn't have Ziploc bags, therefore dumb.
Could it be? Could the aliens have helped us in the past? Sure. Did they with the dropostones? Let's explore a little bit. David, tell us a little more on this discovery, and I'm air quoting discovery.
This cave system is said to lie in the borders of China and Tibet, and are claimed to be a system of artificially carved tunnels.
Don't you hate those? You know, just there you are, mind your own business, and you find those artificially carved tunnels. What kind of tunnels, and how did they know they were artificial, sir?
Yeah, well, the walls were said to be square in shape. That's an oddity.
And they had build in straight lines.
They had a glassy layer, almost as if the walls were carved using some intense heat source.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows the Earth doesn't have any heat sources in it. So.
Now, I never learned how to file taxes or do anything proper in school, but I do know that that heat source under the ground is magma, but when it comes out, it's lava. Thank you very much, high school education.
Well done.
I need a lot of help, is what I'm getting at.
And like all good caves, inside were a tomb of rows.
A tomb of rows.
Groups.
You don't always see those.
Okay, God.
This is a tomb of rows.
This is what a stroke feels like. inside were a group of tombs in rows.
That sounds a little more plausible. Nice. Yeah. They in quotes, say the tombs were about 4.3 feet or 1.3 meters in length. And we talked about the skeletons found inside. They had those large heads, weak-looking bodies.
So just like you twats.
Go fucking play in traffic and stop talking this episode.
Actually,
please.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Hell, no, I have the big heads. No, at least you didn't ask about it. Never mind. So,
no one is saying I have a small, weak-looking body. At least the small part.
It's small. Back to these supposed tombs. They had no inscriptions, but those 716 1-foot-wide stone discs were there, so Yahtzee. And these stone discs were said to have a hole in the center, 3/4 of an inch wide. And for shits and giggles, or shiggles, as you like to say, pictures of the sunrise, the moon, and the stars with dots connecting, that is, to Earth. Or from Earth to Earth, from observable universe, are painted on the walls of the cave, I guess, depending on which direction you're coming or going to. And all of these pictures were joined together with lines of miniature pea-sized dots. Pea-sized. Wow. So we know exactly the size. Science was done, allegedly, and these paintings were said to have been dated to 12,000 years ago. And the artifacts recovered by the expedition were stored in Beijing at the Beijing University for 20-some-odd years. And there were attempts to translate the discs, but no such luck previously. Then, around 1958, the discs were examined by that Dr. Sum Un Nui of the Beijing Academy for Ancient Studies, which sounds real. And the big-brained badass himself supposedly cracked the code of the discs. God damn, he's in my head. Discs. Oh, now he's in my head.
Seapot. Here we go.
Boom, aliens. Anyway. So this, these stones, these discs, whatever you want to call them, they told the story, crash landing of a group of outer space bad drivers, I guess, named the Dropa. How that worked was Professor T, this guy, not Dr. Sum Un Nui, published his findings after he returned to China. He said the skeletons may have been to gorillas, nothing to do with aliens or anything like that. He claimed the stone discs may have been added by later culture, and people laughed and laughed, or so the story goes. So they got the Doc Tsum Tsum to come in and do the real work. And the professor's findings remained hidden until the university finally undertook further research into what came to be known as these Dropa stones that we're talking about.
You know, it could be, just to go out on a limb with this shit, if someone saw a weirdly proportioned body, you know, from the skeleton, gorilla is not a far-off thing for people to assume.
Yeah, like weird head, smaller body.
Yeah, the legs and are shorter than the arms, mm-hmm. or I don't know exactly. But, you know, it would look definitely different from humanoid, and especially just kind if of they were a weird.
They were all buried in rows in a tomb.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, as gorillas are known to do. So this research after, so this professor found it, and they weren't satisfied with it. So then Dr. Tsum Tsum, he came in, spearheaded it. And it was understood that stones had microscopic hieroglyphics, like we talked about, etched on them. So he removed a total of 716 stones from the grave in the mountain caves and started studying them. And if the good doctor's findings are to be believed, and that's believing that he even ever fucking existed, the hieroglyphs in the stones were for the most part unreadable, but some say the doctor was able to piece together a story that's out of this world.
Stop it.
According to him.
Yeah, the stones, pushing some buttons, bitch.
The stones revealed a story of an alien race called the Dropa, the bad drivers we mentioned before. They crashed land on Earth, killed a good number of the crew. Some were still alive, and those survivors, they hid in a cave to protect themselves from a local tribe that he said were called the Ham. Or the Ham people.
Delicious. And
sounds delicious. Eventually, the two tribes managed to coexist, but the Dropa could not repair their spaceship because reasons. And they lived out their remaining years on Earth, I'm sure, pissed off as fuck. What the professor supposedly did was transcribe the hieroglyphs from the disc to paper. And once the character has been transcribed slowly, I'm sure, the message began to take shape, first as words, then as phrases, and became understandable. Then this doctor put together his research or his work or whatever you want to call it in a form of an academic paper. But, spoiler again, the Beijing Academy forbid the publication of the paper because reasons. Now, if that was to be true, sometimes you could maybe think that, like, oh, we don't want to be ridiculed or whatever. But
yeah.
Anyway, it was supposedly eventually published, and it was the subject of, well, great ridicule. The result was Dr. Sun Eun Lee resigned his post and went to Japan, where he lived in obscurity. And nice. There is the truth of the entire story, or more likely bullshit, because we're going to break into that part. And we got some bullshit, speaking of BS, involving Russia and Australia on the plate. Tell us about those two wonderful places, if you will, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be digging around with aliens without the Ruskies sticking their noses in. And they say they also became interested in the Dropa stones. They asked for and received permission to undertake additional research on the stones. Some of the stone discs were allegedly dispatched to Moscow to be examined, and the outcome of this research is said to have indicated that the stones contained a high concentration of cobalt, together with other substances that were metallic in nature. Plus, they say the discs oscillated as if they contained an electrical charge.
Huh.
Or, you know, maybe the discs were just really nervous about being in a room with windows in Moscow.
You know, a bunch of Russians. hey, we're
they
gonna
saw
have
tea
you,
being served. And,
we're
yeah,
gonna have you I would, handle I would these very, tea. Very, very fragile discs. You want some vodka? I'm sorry, vodka?
But either way, scientists found that putting the stones on a turntable elicited a special hum from the stones, especially when they had a microphone.
What is that? What kind of hum are we talking about?
Sorry, I'm just thinking of puns. Well, there was a hum that sounded exactly like a perfect recording of the Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique decades before it was released.
That is very specific.
See, I thought it was Pet Sounds, but either that or we made all that up. Oh. But it makes as much sense as the rest of this shit. So
I think Pet Sounds is when you put a needle on Bill Brasky's nipple is how you get Pet Sounds. So that's how very similar, and both discs, you know.
I heard Brian Wilson tried that, so we're not far off. At least one scientist who is real, the writer's promise, believes that in some way the stones are associated with an electric circuit that dates back to ancient times. Now,
I don't mean to laugh, but I do. Of all the things we talk about, this is just so weird and out there.
Of all the things we talk about, this is such a thing.
Of all the things we talk about, this is one of them.
This is one of them, yeah. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, the phrase you've all been waiting for me to say, it's time to go down under. Ernst
Wegerer
was an engineer from Australia who managed to photograph two discs in 1974 while on a tour of the Chinese Banpo Museum in Xi'an. He claims... his claims about the discs include seeing the holes in the center of the discs and the hieroglyphs in grooves that displayed in a spiral pattern, but they were crumbling.
Mm.
This is what happens when you leave your vinyl out to the elements. But when Wegerer approached the management of the museum for further information, mum was the word.
Yeah, because he's speaking in a very thick Australian accent. They had no idea what he was talking about.
According to the manager, there was nothing to tell about the stones. Mm-hmm. She dismissed them as cult objects of no importance, but she was knowledgeable about every other clay artifact in the museum.
Yeah.
Lies he tells.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he swears they're lying. He swears. You know. Anyway. So, get this.
Yeah.
The museum manager suspected, or supposedly, allowed him to handle one of the discs, and he did that. We've all been to a museum and had them open up displays for us to fuck with shit. So that checks out. No issue there. And so he inspected, not suspected, but he inspected them. And he said it weighed approximately 2 pounds and was 1 foot in diameter. However, the pictures he took allegedly do not show the fine details of the spiral grooves and hieroglyphics, but that's just, you know,
that's things. Neither here nor
there.
Don't
worry about it. Also, just for fun, 2 days after old Ernie visited the museum, the manager was called away. And, yep, said manager, and the discs vanished forever. Gonski.
The most believable part of the story so far.
He's like, geez, and I'm out of here. This scenario was said to have been reported by Professor Wang Ziyong, a director of the museum in 1994, said to be, and we'll explain why that's said to be here very shortly. There you have it. Alien scientists, proof, photos, or BS. We'll break down the holes in this story, if there are any, other than the holes in the middle of the disc. That's after this break on Hysteria 51. All right. No surprise here, kids, if you've been listening and caught on us kind of scoffing at this. Issues abound in this story.
Just like the stones themselves.
Yes. There's
holes
700
everywhere.
And 16 issues with holes. Yes. there's so many holes in this story. I don't even know where to start when doing them. I was trying to go through stuff, and I was looking through different people's websites where they talk about it and stuff, and there were so many. So I just put together a very incomplete but, you know, thorough-ish list of things that stand out. So the glaring ones here that caught me or caught my eye. Tons of experts have studied both the evidence and, more importantly, lack of evidence of the Dropa Stones. And serious researchers, archaeologists, all that do not believe that there is any evidence to claim, support the claims that have been made, or that these ever really existed at all, these specific Dropa Stones.
So, let me ask you this for everybody at home playing along. Do they have these somewhere right now?
So there are discs.
Are they supposedly disappeared?
So the Dropa Stones themselves are the things that are of question, are not there. But here in a minute, let me break down a couple more things, and I'll explain to you what people say they're probably in reference to. Okay.
Already.
What about the people? All right. So we had talked
about Dropa?
The Dropa people and the Ham people. There is a genuine Dropa tribe that does exist. The people are actually normally developed. They're not large headed and small bodied. they are herdsmen though, so maybe aliens. That one's still out. You know, the jury. Because that's always weird to me when people choose to be herdsmen. Also, Ham people exist as well. It's a bit of realism in the muck. So, you know, both those people are there. Neither of them claim to be from outer space, which is telling to me. here's a big one. Chinese museum records do not provide any proof of the discs ever being stored at any museum in China. Uh-oh. Plus, the Russian government authorities can find no records or other proof of the discs ever having been studied by Russian scientists. But we have to say that this may or not be true given the way these two governments operate.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that's
choose your own adventure there.
Irrefutable evidence. Right
so
there.
that's a, to me, that's a check in their real box. now to Dr. Sumun Nui. It's T-S-U-M. U-M-N-U-I, so...
I'd like to think that when they were making this shit up, they were like, what's the doctor's name? Oh, it's Dr. Sum...
Dumgui?
Nui?
well,
Nui?
It's funny you say that because...
They're like, oh, okay.
It's perfectly said that way because this is a Japanese that's been adapted to Chinese. It's not a real name. And there are no reports to prove that the doctor ever existed, and that's what's fucking crazy.
Oops. I knew I should have come up with a better name.
You did not have anything to do with this. Not a part of this.
Yeah, you wish.
I'm relatively sure. Let's think about this logically in regards to what this made-up person was said to accomplish. And this is an important part. we know all the hieroglyphs of Egypt, you know, these huge undertaking it was to translate those. It took thousands of people to translate those over a very long time. But we're to assume that Duxum-Sum knocked out 716 stone discs by himself when much of the writing was already faded and worn, and he figured out this entire story.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's true. And what about the debris from the alien spacecraft? The heat-carved caverns, the paintings, yeah. All that jazz? Was nothing ever traced, you know, to this day so they could go back there? How could it be possible that aliens advanced enough to crash a spaceship end up using stones as grave markers also, unless it was part of their weird, I don't know. It makes no sense to me. And we can't find these caves. We can't find anything, but they found them back in the day. Of course, they might be hiding them from us. And when did they crash? When they did crash, right? How long did it take to carve out each stone? Why is it the stones were the only things discovered and nothing else? I mean, there's just so many questions you could have on that whole end of it. And don't you think they would be advanced so some of that would have carried over when they got here?
I would think that, yeah, they would have some kind of technology. So let's say, you know, your ship crashes, but you've still got, I don't know, a sidearm. You've got tools, presumably.
You've got knowledge.
Medical stuff, knowledge about things, how to use, like if you can't fix your ship, then you're going to strip that ship down and use the parts of it for things you can use.
What was that, District 9, where the one that like came here, they were all like the slave people who had no, like, they weren't smart.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So that could be a one end of it where they're just like, they're all just like, why, they're living in slums and stuff because they're just idiots. Yeah, you know?
Wow.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a penal colony ship that got
Say penal. He's going to start to ask him about dicks again.
Good call.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Also, for more fun, there's no proof of the Peking Academy of Prehistory ever existing.
is that what it was called? I thought it was the Beijing Academy of Ancient Studies.
There was that one. There was the Peking Academy, and there was the Dim Sum Academy of Delicious.
There was General So's.
General So's Anatomy of Aliens. Jesus Christ. What about
Cream
pictures?
Of some young guy.
What about some dumb glee? What about pictures, sir? Well, pictures of the Dropa stones, or alleged pictures, show diverse stones of different sizes, with some having large holes at the center, some with small. Which one is the true version is anybody's guess, providing a true version ever did really exist. And that's where we're going to get to this. One final big argument against this authenticity of the Dropa stones and all the claims comes from Eric Van Daniken. You might remember him. We've talked to him before. I've talked about him before. I've actually spoke to him. I spoke to him in L.A. at AlienCon. Yeah. We didn't get him on the show, unfortunately, but he was a writer. And the first time it's ever mentioned, the Dropa stones that anyone can find, is a story in his book, Chariots of the Gods? Published in 1968. So he's removed the question mark on that book if you get later versions of it. I don't know how I feel about that. Anyway, very little about the book can be corroborated, including its claims having received information from Alexander Kazansky. How do you say that one?
You say it sexy, Lexi.
Sexy, Lexi. Alex Kazansky. Yeah. Anyway.
Kazansky. Yeah, maybe.
The Soviet science fiction writer. So
He's real, though,
right? He's real. The sci-fi writer denies that this is true and in turn claims that Eric Van Daniken is the one who gave him the information. And
this is the Spider-Man picture.
Yeah.
Of the two Spider-Mans.
Yeah. Yeah. And the earliest mention of the story, like we said, is in that book, Chariots of the Gods. It's one I've read. It's widely criticized as unreliable. You can't really go down any of the avenues and find information. And in fact, many, many, many people point out how racist it is, because one of the kind of alarming and theories is, well, this is not me talking, but if you read online, they'll say, well, brown people couldn't have done that, so obviously aliens had some sort of intervention. And that's disgusting, and that's why a lot of people are like, it's all racist or has racist ties.
Can we just, like, take a moment to remember that the Center for Science and Math for a long time was the Middle East, for fuck's sake?
Oh, I thought it was the Peking Duck. What was that place called? The Center for Unknown Studies and...
The yeah, it, well, I mean,
you're right. And, no, I don't mean to take
in
away
all
from that.
In all
right.
seriousness, like that too. Like China came up with a lot of stuff like writing and gunpowder a long time before us rubes over here thought about it. So I mean, yeah, it's just come on, man,
right? The vast majority of names and sources appearing in the book Chariots of the Gods. Can't be corroborated at all. No existence of the Soviet scientists, Chinese scholars, all these names, the Cho Pu Tai, the Su Meng Noi, Ernest Wagner, all these people, none of them can be found to be real people. And most tellingly, Dagan gives his main source, like we said, was the writer, the Alexander Kazanskiv, I think is how you say it. And he again says that I did not tell him that, and he told me that, and he's lying. Then, in the 1978 book, Sun Gods in Exile, there appeared to be a story that lends some support to the Dropa Stones. So it was edited by this guy named David Agamon, and he admitted in a magazine 14 times in 1988 that the book was fiction, and the alleged author of the Sun Gods in Exile, British researcher named Dr. Kirill Robin Evans, was imaginary. And there's pictures that supposedly show Dr. Robin Evans with the Dalai Lama. They're bullshit. And the guy who wrote it came forward and said it's all a lie. So all that exists of the supposed alien discs are several wide-angle photographs. And the discs that are photographed don't match the described 12-inch discs, you know, and they're...
The three-quarter hole. And
secondly, the photos show none of the supposed deep grooves. And thirdly, absolutely no photos, description, analysis, or other evidence of the actual alien script appear anywhere at all.
Well, I mean, you did say earlier it was microscopic.
It's super tiny. Super tiny. This is interesting, too, in doing the research. Wikipedia, they actually had a little piece on there that I liked. It said one thing on there this is about the Dropa Stones of what they could actually be, because you were asking that. They said they could actually be these things called bi discs.
Oh, just in time for Pride Month.
Hey, these things, they range in size from just a few inches to a few feet. They're all over the place. Thousands of these were found in the southeastern parts of China back in the day. And these stones are made of jade or nephrite with small hole at the center of the stone. And many people think of jade. They think of like bright green, but this type of jade is not. In fact, a lot of jade
it can
are
be purple
brown,
too.
Yeah. Or browns. Like it doesn't have to be pretty, unfortunately.
Yeah.
These discs that are real are believed to be they were buried under the feet of dead people, and they date back about 3,000 years, like a burial rite. So they're very prevalent. And also, furthermore, some of the discs had these very nice carvings of snakes, dragons, all that stuff. But no bi discs that have been found really had these grooves or writing to relate them to the Dropas in any way. But I think it's one of those things where people grabbed onto it and said, I'm going to grift a story.
Do you think that
it's real? Yes, 100%.
That's what happened. That someone found some of these discs that like actually did find some discs or something and made up stuff from there because they didn't know about bi discs. Or
that's the rub for me, David. Did let's look at Eric Von Daniken or something like that. Did he know what he was doing, or was it a mistake?
Yeah.
Where did this story come from? Because it came from someone, and the guy who says it came from is like, nah, man, he told me that story. So
it'd be great if this tribe of herdsmen tried to replicate, you know, they knew this custom, they tried to replicate it, but they didn't have jade or, you know, precious stuff, but they did have rocks. So they did the best they could. Yeah. You know, maybe that was a.
Yeah. So always remember the tribes that were out there. So the Dropa was real. The Ham was real. And Quest. There was a Tribe Called Quest as well. that's very important to the story. We got Tribe Called Quest. That's a good one. We got Beach Boys. We got the Beastie Boys. We're firing on all cylinders this week.
Yeah, really hammering it.
Do you put any? What are your thoughts?
It's bullshit.
I made fun of this one the whole way along. I'm sorry about
that.
Yeah,
I mean, I know. we came out. We shot the magazine of the ship on the first salvo on this one, but yeah, I mean, this is very common, unfortunately, in stuff we talk about, is that you get a story from either a science fiction author or someone like Eric Von Daniken, who takes stuff like this and really runs with it. And then it, you know, just gets repeated enough to where people start saying, oh, there's something to it. And, you know, with the government, let's get the governments involved. And that way it'll make it to where you can't research it because it's a cover up then. And lack of evidence is evidence at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's.
But when you start making up these supposed like state run things that never even existed, you're that's a little hard. To swallow.
It's tough because on the one hand, that can happen and has.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's true.
So, you know, but it's kind of a last grasp at credibility that's easy because, like I said, it's not something you can disprove immediately. It's entirely possible that something could cover. And these, it's funny that they picked like China and Russia because those two governments are famous for doing exactly that.
Not exactly being forthcoming with the information.
Exactly. And I mean,
and then one Australian guy is like, I seen it. Crikey.
But then, you know, like you said, like that guy, there's no evidence of him existing either. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Ernest Wegener or Wegerer, whatever
it is. It's an interesting name. It's Wegener.
Wegener. And Ernst. Wagner. I mean, these aren't.
Wegener. Wee. It's also spelled a couple different ways. Wegerer. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong spelling because I spelled it wrong when I rewrote it down here. So, yeah.
Sure. Either way, if there's 716 of these, one of them.
I was way off. Sorry.
I was way off. If there's so many of these, one of them should have been floated out there, stolen or something. It should be a. Plus, if they knew where this cave was and things like that, you should be able to track that. If they took any notes whatsoever, if they're worth anything. It's too. Yeah, there's too many details that are checkable that return nothing when you do check them.
Right, I think that's exactly a good way to put it, is it's too many dead ends, you know, when you should be able to find things. You know, if everything comes up false, it's probably false.
Mm-hmm.
But then again...
There's a very small statistical chance that any published papers or any accounts or reports of this were rounded up and gotten rid of, but it's hard to
keep. They're in the same file with secret. Bob Lazar and all of his school and history and stuff. It's a very interesting file folder. It's awesome.
Sure. So yeah, I don't put any stock into this. It sounds like a good story, and it was kind of elaborated on by some luminaries and or writers and authors who knew how to really needle in on some of the finer points. 12,000 years ago. That's, you know, 10,000 BCE. A lot of people think. That's about when Göbekli Tepe was coming online. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is there a connection there? Mm-hmm. Oh, let's just plant that seed.
It's starting to come together, Pepper. Starting to come together.
Joe Boo needs a refill.
Anyway, kids, you got a better story? You know something we don't know? Well, let us know. And there's very, very, very simple way you can do that. Well, there's a few simple ways you can do that. Well, number one, you can email us, and you can email us your weird stories, weird@hysteria51.com, or let us know your thoughts on Hysteria Nation. Go to Facebook, search Hysteria Nation. That's our discussion page. Also, facebook.com/hysteria51pod. Running out of breath there. That is our Facebook page. Tweet to us at Hysteria51pod. Patreon. Up All Nights, Mad Blur Hysterias, audio dramas, lots of fun stuff on there. All the episodes ad-free that going forward, so that's very cool. All for a dollar. Voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. Or just go to hysteria51.com and click on the microphone, leave us a message there. Or you can find links to everything. You can just make that your homepage. I think that feels the best. What do you got going on, David? Anything?
Yeah. If you guys haven't heard yet, I started a new podcast. Woo! In collaboration with Tom Lyons, who writes the Living Among Bigfoot books that I narrate the audiobooks for. It's called 5 Minute Frights. And Tom is having me read out just short stories of encounters and experiences and goings on and stuff. Comes out each week. And, it's just a fun little snack-sized
I was just going to say that. It's addition. Perfect to, like, I want to hear these. You can just throw them on while you're walking somewhere or driving mm-hmm. or taking a shit. That's the perfect time to listen to David Flora. Speaking of, real quick, this is terrible. So, not to interrupt you, but I go upstairs because the studio used to be in our attic, and we moved it now, and I'm in the office building, and I still have a few of my things up there and decorations, and I had a rubber chicken from this Sven Gulli meetup. You remember Sven Gulli? You know, the horror guy.
Oh, yeah.
I had a rubber chicken up there, and I had to go, or I went up there to get it, and then I was downstairs, and I had to run to the restroom. So I go to the restroom. I hear knock, knock, knock on the door, and Lisa's like, "Hey, I hated this. I'm so sorry. Can I just open this? I'm going to grab the laundry basket to start laundry." I'm like, "Sure." She opens, and I'm standing there taking a shit holding a rubber chicken. And she just looks at me, and I look at her, and she doesn't say anything. About an hour later, I go, "You know," and she goes, "You were taking a shit holding a rubber chicken." And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "I don't ask questions."
That's why you all get along.
And that's why love is blind.
Love's in the air.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the newest hotness on my end. 5 Minute Frights.
That or me taking a shit with chickens. One or the other. 5 Minute Frights.
Yeah, choose your poison on that one.
No, it's really good. And we've actually had a lot of people in the Hysteria Nation been checking it out and seeing how much they like it.
Nice.
And then they're talking about how much they love your voice.
Oh, boy.
The sexy sounds of a David
Once again,
Flora.
Time to go down under.
All right, kids.
Yikes.
So that's been our thoughts on the Dropa Stones. And as you know, they're 100% real. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay stoned. Meet Sax.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.